The eighth commandment, and it's relatively simple. It says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, it's not my opinion, it's not complicated, it's not open to interpretation. It simply says, "Thou shalt not steal." Thou shalt not steal. The Hebrew word, it's there for you to see, gonab is the Hebrew word, and it means to thief, to rob, to steal away. The idea is wrongfully taking wrongfully taking things or persons, and this commandment is foundational to human society. Here's why. Because it establishes the right to personal property. If you're not supposed to steal something, that something has to belong to somebody. So God recognizes personal property rights. God has clearly entrusted certain possessions to individuals, and others, other people, other states are not permitted to take that property without due process of law. I think one of the most powerful, illustrations of stealing can be found in Joshua chapter 7. So if you'll get with me to Joshua chapter 7. And in Joshua chapter 7, God had told the children of Israel that when they were coming into the promised land, that they were not to take anything from these pagan people, but they were to kill the animals, they were to kill the people, they were infected, all those things. And so God says, don't take any of their stuff. And in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." As a result of that, God was going to judge them, and so Joshua was praying, and the Lord says, "Get up off your face, and find out who did this." And we see now, if you slip down to verse 21. It comes down to the house of Achan. And God had told them, don't take any of the stuff. And they stole the stuff. And Achan says this. In verse 20, it says, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord and Israel. And thus have I done.'" 21, you might circle it. You see the progression. "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment of 200 shekels and 200 shekels of silver," that would be 5 pounds of silver, "and a wedge of gold," that'd be about a pound and a quarter of gold, and 50 shekels weight, "and I coveted," so it started out that he saw, and then he coveted, and then look at what happened. "And then took them, and behold, they are hid. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid them in the earth, in the midst of the tent, and the silver under it." Well, I'll tell you what, that cost Achan his life and his family. But God said, don't take the stuff, don't steal the stuff, and he did. So we need to be very, very cautious to obey God in everything. Really, I'm, and I think you are too when you really think about it, theft is at epidemic proportions in our nation. It really is. There are over 10 million acts of theft and robbery in the United States every year. The crime statistics and the public cost of stealing and robbery, in light of those kinds of numbers, they're just enormous. One estimate says that one out of every 52 shoppers carries something out of the supermarket for which they haven't paid. According to the U.S. Department of Congress, 4 million people are caught shoplifting every year, but for everyone caught, this is what they say, 35 others get away with this. This means that there are over 140 million incidences of shoplifting every year in the United States of America. And what's really tragic about this shoplifting deal, I find these hard to believe, but these are the statistics. Only 10% of the shoplifters are from low incomes. 70% are from the middle class. And 20% are classified as wealthy. They don't need the things. And yet, I've seen this in the paper, where you have wealthy Hollywood people stealing stuff out of stores. I'm going, what in the world? There was a motel, it was an upper-class motel. It reported that in their 10 months of operation, this new motel lost 38,000 spoons, 18,000 towels, 355 coffee pots. You know those little coffee pots that are in your... They lost 355 of those, and 100 Bibles. 100 Bibles were taken out of the drawer. But here's something. The IRS estimates that about $20 billion a year is stolen in unpaid taxes because of underreporting income. Say, I don't like to pay taxes. I don't agree with what the government uses their taxes for. Well, the Bible says, render unto what? Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. I don't like paying taxes any better than you. It's estimated that $40 billion a year are stolen from employers, not by shoplifters, not by thieves breaking in, but by their own employees. My uncle worked for Pontiac Motors for a number of years, and he remembers an incident. They would check you at Pontiac Motors. They had guards there at the door. And so as they're checking, this guy comes along with a wheelbarrow, and there's a bunch of junk that's in the wheelbarrow, my Uncle Marlon said. And they go through all the junk in the wheelbarrow, and they didn't find anything. And so the guy wheeled on out, and then my uncle says the thing was, is what they were doing is stealing the wheelbarrow. Well, that's what they were stealing. And so they put a bunch of junk in there to make it look at. 10 times more is stolen from American business by employees than is stolen in street crime. And it is stolen by lying about hours. Back in the Vietnam War, as soon as I graduated from high school, I worked at Rochester Gear, and I made mortar cones and howitzer base plates. But come Friday, very interestingly, they would take turns. I'd be the only guy left working in the shop because there would be one other guy because they all gave him their cards and they left at least an hour early. And the guy whose turn it was sit there and punch everybody out. So I'm the only one on the floor continuing to work on the shop, in the shop, because they were stealing time from their employees. They take supplies. They steal goods from their companies. They abuse expense accounts and a whole host of other ways. Another alarming statistic is that $350 billion a year is lost in by businesses through the dishonest reporting of sick days by employees. When you look at that, you think that America is a country of thieves. If everyone who was guilty of theft was arrested, there wouldn't be enough police officers to arrest them. They'd probably stopped at the... Well, never mind. There's not enough jail space to hold them. The fact is that stealing is wrong. God says, thou shalt not steal. Now, I'm going to examine some of the different types of stealing. And the first one is stealing from God. It's not there, but I want to give an illustration of this that really stuck in my mind, and that's Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. So you might want to write that on your notes. Acts chapter 5, and in verse 1 through 11, it says, and a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold possessions. See, what they had agreed to do was they were going to sell this property and give the entire thing to the Lord. That was what the agreement was. And they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. They'd met beforehand and they developed a story of what they were going to tell about their theft. And brought certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, if they would have just said, "Now we decided only to give part of it instead of the whole thing," that would have been one thing. But look what happened. It says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? You could have told us you weren't going to give us the whole thing. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died. And a great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up, that's what they did in those days, and carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much." She said, "Yeah, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband, and great fear came upon the church and upon many as heard these things. You know, it's not a wise thing to steal from God. We read in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it." When you give cheerfully, the New Testament says that God tamps it down and blesses you, but God is the one who gives me the health to preach, you the health to work. He gives us the mental capacity, and he expects us to give back a part of our earnings. I believe that Abraham received, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, and that was before the law. And Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So I personally believe that the tithe belongs to the Lord. Even if you disagree, God expects his children to cheerfully give to their local church to advance the cause of Christ and not crimp, not skimp on the Lord, because he gives it to us all and he expects us to be faithful in giving back to him. I didn't do that before I was married. Before I was married, I nickel-dimed the Lord to death. I made good money. I worked for my dad. I worked hard. And God blessed me. And so we got married, and my wife had been tithing ever since she had been getting an allowance. When she got a dime, she'd give a penny to the Lord. And so I've told you the story before, but now, she was concerned about it. She approached me and she says, "Can't I just write a check for a tithe to the Lord?" And I said, "Oh, go write the dumb check." You know, very tactful, like a good husband. And she did. And I'm amazed, because things were tight back then, I'm amazed how that God made 9/10 of it go further than when I had it all, or whether I nickel-dimed the Lord to death. I'm just grateful for the things of the Lord. But what I'm telling you is, you can steal from the Lord. You can steal from the Lord in your finances. And if you, I didn't do it cheerfully at first, but I've chosen to give my tithe and then some, and support some outside organizations at that. And truly, when you just can't outgive the Lord. So don't steal from God, but also in relationship to stealing, you can steal your service from the Lord. Christians can rob God by refusing to give ourselves in service. We have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. We have. Not by silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been bought with a price, and he tells us that we need to glorify him. We need to glorify him in our bodies and in our spirits. And we are to give him our bodies to serve him, and that is a reasonable request. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable that he would ask us that. And then be not conformed to this world. But to be a believer and not be serving the Lord in some capacity is robbing God. You can rob him of money. You can rob him of your service. There's another area, and tragically, Americans don't give much credence to it today, but I want to set things straight for you, but kidnapping and human trafficking is stealing. Exodus chapter 21, verse 16 says, "And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 7. "If a man be found stealing away of his brethren of the children of Israel, and make merchandise of him, or sell him, then the thief shall die. Thou shalt put evil away from among you." I'm just telling you that kidnapping is a capital crime in God's economy. We think slavery is a thing of the past, but that's nonsense. That is just not the case. Slavery is not a thing of the past. You can't imagine, I read an article just recently, Islam has a number, thousands of black slaves that they have kidnapped yet today. But let's move on. I'm talking about human trafficking now. It's estimated that the global profits for human trafficking is $150 billion a year, and $99 billion of that is from sexual trafficking, sexual exploitation, according to the International Labor Organization. The United States, along with Mexico and the Philippines, was ranked one of the world's worst places for human trafficking in 2018. In the United States, there are no official numbers of human trafficking victims, but it is estimated that there are hundreds of thousands. It is estimated that between 18,000 and 20,000 victims are trafficked into the United States each year. There's a huge human trafficking scene in the Washington, D.C. area. And you'd be interested to know some of the names that are connected with that. But I want to just tell you that it is wrong, it is stealing, for people to buy other people for whatever the purpose. Now, I've told you numerous times before that within the law enforcement community, Oak Creek is known as Oak Creekistan. And the reason is because there's a lot of human trafficking going on for illegals being brought in to serve as maids and baby keepers and so on. You hardly ever see them any place, but there's a number of them around in this area. There's a lot of human trafficking going on in Racine. There's a lot of human trafficking going on in Milwaukee as well. Just tons of it today. That's why parents keep track of your children. It is not just girls. It is young boys as well. Then another type of stealing is fraud and extortion. Fraud and extortion. Leviticus chapter 19:13 says, "Thou shalt not defraud," and that means keep something that is rightfully somebody else's. "You shall not defraud. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob," that's take money by force, by threat, "neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until morning." You hire somebody, you're supposed to pay him. Don't cheat him. Don't tell him one thing and then do something else. There's another thing here, a false balance. It says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Now, I'm not saying this is false, but you note whether you have seen this or not. What has happened is the prices of candy bars have gone up and they have shrunk. Now, what has happened, they tell you that on the paper that is there, but you know what? They want you to think you're getting the same thing for the same amount, and it's really not happening. But the Lord wanted, you know, if it was supposed to be a pound, it is to be a pound. I like the corn place at the corner here, going Highway 38 around the Big Bend, and during corn season, you can get corn there. And you get, if you buy a dozen, you get a baker's dozen of corn. Anybody know what a baker's dozen is? It's 13. They want you to do that. They want you to make sure that you get it. Besides the fact that you serve yourself. But when you're serving yourself, make sure you only take what you're supposed to take. Because I have seen people take more than they're supposed to take as they're loading their bag and as they're putting their money in. But a false balance. The Lord abhors dishonesty. You are not to keep something that does not belong to you. I used to have a friend, and he would borrow tools from me. He's still got my tools. So it's been a long time since I've been here. It's not been here that that happened, but it's been previous. You're not supposed to take money by force, and you're not supposed to hold back money when it's owed to somebody. For 7 years, my wife and I, we owned a printing business, and we printed thousands and thousands of things. And do you know the people who cheated us? It was believers. I actually had the audacity, over a $600 order, which the guy came and picked up and promised to send me a check, never sent me a check. He was the pastor of a large Baptist church in the large city near us. And I wrote to him a letter, and I even called him. And you know what he said to me? I know you won't sue me. And I'll tell you what, that is, you know, that's fraud. He did not pay what he owed. When you owe something, pay it. When you owe something, pay it. And then, I already addressed it, but the fail to pay your taxes. The Pharisees and the Herodians came to Jesus and said, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or not? That's Mark 12:14. Jesus answered, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God. He took a coin of that day, said, whose picture's on it? And the picture of one of the Caesars was on it. That answers the question. Pay your taxes. We have a guy who did a wonderful series of tapes that went a long way around here, but he didn't believe in paying Social Security. He ended up spending 10 years in prison for advocating that, and his wife went to prison and for him because she just signed the stuff that he put in front of her. Ultimately, it broke up the marriage, but he got a revelation from God that he could remarry, and Mr. Hovind is now mid-trib, so whatever the situation is. But he got in trouble because he didn't want to pay his taxes. I know the government supports unbiblical things that I don't like. But you know what? Last time I looked, whose picture is on the money? And so you render unto Caesar what Caesar's and let God do that. I'm thankful for the present president who is cutting back the funds, and he won in court to be able to withhold the funds from Planned Parenthood. He won in court. I don't know whether it'll go any further on that, but here's the deal as I wrap things up. I've taken a little bit longer than I wanted to, but here's the solution for stealing. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. The solution for stealing is this. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, in the establishment of the Jamestown colony, one of the first thing John Smith had to do was establish a rule in the Jamestown colony, because they were all running around not planting their crops, but they were looking for gold. They wanted to get rich quick. And so they passed a law, and the law was if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And so they had to work at least 8 hours a day at Jamestown before they ran off and looked for gold. But here's an interesting thing. It's a progression from sinful ways to a superior way of life. The first one is you steal in order to have, and that's illegal, that's sin. Let him that stole steal no more. Secondly, you work in order to have, that's legal. And then thirdly, you work in order not only to provide for your needs, but in order to give to others who are in need. That's what it says. It says, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's a demonstration of agape love. So, last one, I'll tell it on me, but I'm glad that I got it off my head years and years and years ago. For two summers, I worked at Rochester Gear, making mortar cones and howitzer base plates for the Vietnam War. And when I was done at the summer, when I had to go back to college, there were specialized tools that I had for the machine. I just took the tools with me and came back the next summer, had the same job again. But then I didn't work there the third summer, and I kept the tools. And here I am, an assistant pastor in a church, and I went, didn't need tools very often, but my truck was having trouble, so I went to my toolbox and opened it up, and here's probably $400 worth of tools that belonged to Rochester Gear. I thought, oh, man. And so what I did is I packed up all those tools, and I sent them by UPS in care of the shop foreman, and I said, I kept these. When I didn't come back and work for you the third summer, I'll be by to see you soon, and we can talk. Because it was more than petty theft. I mean, there was several hundred dollars worth of tools there. And so the next time I went to see Linda's parents and my parents, I said, I got to go over to Rochester Gear. I went over because I worked second shift, went on second shift, and Mike greeted me and said, man, how are you doing? He said, let me show you the new stuff. Let me show you the new machines. And I'm dying all the time wondering, you know, what's he going to say? Is he going to do anything? What's going to go on? And he says, I want to take you across the street and show you the cider mill. We've made improvements in the cider mill. So, you know, after about an hour and a half, I finally said, oh, Mike, I said, I kept some tools that I shouldn't have. Did you get those back? He said, oh, yeah, we got them back. We just put them back in the thing. And that was all there was to it. It could have been a different thing. But the situation is, don't steal. It's pretty clear what God says, don't steal. Probably somebody listening to this who was in my previous church, and when I preached a similar message, they had stolen root beer mugs many, many years previously. So they went to send them back, and the place went out of business, so they asked me what they should do. I said, well, the best thing that you can do is put their value, which I believe, whatever their value would be, is put it in the offering plate and give it unto the Lord. So when some people ask me about those things and what do you do, that was the answer that I gave. But you know what? One of the hardest things for businesses today are employees walking off with things that belong to the employer. By far, what I say, let's say if you work at Walmart, you know where they're not looking, and it's easy to take and walk away with things that are there. Don't do it. Thou shalt not steal.